In the 1930s, the left claimed that fascists wanted to protect their factories and titles of nobility. Now we are told that fascists, aka angry white males, want to preserve their unfair privilege. Homophobia, racism, nativism, and in a neat moral equivalence, both Islamic extremism and Islamophobia are the white male power structure's instinctive fascistic response to the shock of the new. These kinds of arguments, to borrow a phrase from Karl von Clausewitz, represent the continuation of war by cultural means, and indeed, nowhere is this logic more visibly on display than in popular culture. Take the movie Pleasantville, an imaginary Mayberry of a town seemingly frozen in the repressive white male-dominated 1950s, is shaken up by the introduction of freedom-loving, sexually liberated young people from the 1990s. It's the 1960s all over again. The town elders can't handle the challenge. Their liberated wives no longer have martinis and slippers waiting for them at the end of the day. In response, the white male elite, led by the Chamber of Commerce, of course, becomes increasingly fascistic. One of the film's clever conceits is that the tradition-bound people of Pleasantville are filmed in black and white, while the fully realized human beings are portrayed in living color. This prompts the monochromatic fascists to start treating the coloreds as second-class citizens. A similar theme can be found in the playfully fascistic film Falling Down, in which a white middle-class defense contractor, played by Michael Douglas, becomes violent when he is downsized and thrown out of work. In American Beauty, Kevin Spacey's sexually confused ex-Marine neighbor snaps and becomes a murderer when he can't handle the idea that his son might be gay. It isn't surprising that Hollywood keeps churning out these chestnuts, but it is amazing that each time it does, so many critics hail them as novel and path-breaking interpretations when they are really just a series of recycled cliches. But there's a larger point behind the effort to cast opponents of change as fascists, to make change itself the natural order by ridiculing the very notion of a natural order. The underlying dogma of these movies is that social and gender roles are not fixed, that tradition, religion, and natural law have no binding power or authority over the individual's will to power, and that the day we made the mistake of thinking otherwise was the day we took a tragic wrong turn. The Kulturkampf, then and now. The phrase culture war is traceable to two very different thinkers. The more recent is the Marxist Antonio Gramsci, who argued that the only way to throw off the old order was to launch a long march through elite cultural institutions. This was the strategy taken by the new left insurgents of the 1960s, who in short order conquered English departments, editorial boards, movie studios, and the like. But the earlier and more relevant wellspring was Otto von Bismarck's Kulturkampf.